Hi, and welcome to Heart, a Kingdom Hearts podcast, where I, Austin, usually explain the Kingdom Hearts series to my friends. However, due to some unforeseen circumstances, we were left in a position where the regular group can't record for a while, and we thought, what a better time than now to have some special guests on a bunch of episodes. So for at least this episode and the next one, they won't be continuing the story from where we were. We'll be leaving a little pause on Aqua. But instead, we're going to be covering a bunch of interesting topics recommended by people in the Discord server. So if you're not in there, I mean, you don't get to have any input. Also, literally everybody who's going to be on these episodes is just people we met through the Discord server. So you don't get a chance to be on the episodes if you're not in the Discord server. What are you doing? So with me today is my special guests. We have...
Hi. Yep. Hi. My name is Imperial HC. You can just call me Haley for now, just to make things a little easier. My pronouns are she, her.
Hi, I'm John. Sorry. Use all pronouns are fine.
Hello, I'm TJ. I use he, they pronouns. That's about it.
I'm Wayfinder. She, her pronouns.
All right. And today we're all going to be discussing... Well, it's going to be like a big open discussion about all things spoiler. So if you aren't caught up and don't want spoilers, don't listen to this episode. Also, if your name is Cronus, Derelis, or Riley, please do not listen to this episode.
Oh dear. We just have to say the wrong thing so they think like...
Oh yeah, you know. Just have to make stuff up.
So it's all a big deception. Spoilers,
but everything's wrong.
Right? We sprinkle in a little truth in there, but they gotta find it.
Mm-hmm. You know, gotta keep them on their toes.
Of course, with Cronus, they'll just figure everything out anyway.
Oh my god.
So, this is gonna be a super loose, open discussion, so what do you guys want to talk about?
I have nothing on my head in the moment. I could probably think of stuff if we keep going.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to start with the stuff they'll experience like sooner rather than later, or do we want to just go straight to like KH3 stuff is the question?
I mean, if nobody's jumping to talk about something immediately, we could go a little like through the line.
Have something I like think is a cool topic to talk about, but I don't know if it's already been done to death or not. But how about that Union Cross ending?
You mean the reason that this podcast exists?
Yes.
That's actually been my latest conversation with my Kingdom Hearts friend in real my IRL Kingdom Hearts friend. It has been the whole, why, you know, Union Cross broke everything. Why is it working? I've been tearing my hair out over that for a little bit.
I mean, it's Nomura. What can you expect at this point?
I literally remember watching that and I'm just like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I'm someone who thinks he knows how everything works in the series.
I think it answered a lot of questions, but it also, of course, you can't have a Kingdom Hearts game that doesn't ask just as many as it answers.
Mm-hmm. Or more.
True.
Yeah, or more. But like, literally, I was watching, because I never played Union Cross. I tried and I couldn't get into it. But I was watching Everglow's like final episode for it. And I had so many fucking questions, and I needed to write them down. I didn't have any friends IRL that knew anything about Kingdom Hearts. I mean, Darylise and Riley had seen a little bit, but not enough to know anything I was saying. So I made a channel in our personal Discord server that was just like, these are my Kingdom Hearts ramblings. I just need to put them somewhere. And after like putting down a bunch, I ended up saying, sometimes I think creating a podcast where I explain Kingdom Hearts to you guys would be a fun excuse to subject my friends to all my never-ending Kingdom Hearts thoughts. LOL. And then all three of them reacted with the eyes emoji. So I was like, unless. Yeah. And well, a little over 6 months later, you see how that happened.
A great podcast. That literally kept me alive during my 15-hour drives back to Virginia.
Oh, ouch.
But God, I remember, I wish I had these texts. I don't know if I have them anymore. But back when Everglow released his video, my friend, who like my only friend I could really talk to Kingdom Hearts about, because he is one of the most crackpot theory like people you will ever see, was like spamming me about it. I wish I had them, but I don't have them anymore.
I grew up playing these games with my older sister, and she would just watch me play. And so she's just as invested in it as I am. And anytime something new would come out about 3 or Union Cross or anything, we would just text each other just with like a jumble of letters like, oh my God, what is this? Why are they doing this?
Me and my friend too. Speaking of that, I have a very funny story if we ever get on the topic of KH3.
Uh-oh. I mean, my friend and I literally counted down for over 200 days for Kingdom Hearts 3. And Remind. Like, we would text each other pictures, like Kingdom Hearts fan art pictures that we'd found. And the number of days we had left before, not necessarily before they came out, but before we were able to meet up and play it together.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. You know, Kingdom Hearts 3 was the only like game I was well enough into the series for to be excited for its release.
Yes.
Same here.
Because every other game I just found by accident, and I'm like, oh, cool, I guess I'll play this. Advice, don't play 358 over 2 days right after 1.
Yeah,
nothing makes sense.
Yeah, oh. I can see that pain.
It must probably even more confusing than 2.
Yeah.
Literally, because I was young when I played this, but it was so funny because I remember seeing the box art at a GameStop and I looked at it and my first thought was, why is Sora blonde? And like, why does Kairi have black hair? And why does Riku have spiky hair?
Well, Riku already had spiky hair.
Okay, but between him and spikier. Axel.
Oh, yeah.
It's even spikier. And Axel's is even spikier, and it's red, so.
Yeah. And then I played the game, and I got very attached to Shion.
I mean, who doesn't? Let's be honest.
Right?
When you said who, I thought you were going to make the I don't remember her joke.
No, I'm...
You don't have to make those anymore.
I don't like making those.
They're so,
they hurt so bad.
We don't have to make those anymore. They got their memories back.
They're alive. They're a person. They have their casual clothes. It means they're an actual character now.
Oh, yeah. I have some... Oh, you just remind me of something about KH3 that just broke my heart when I realized it.
Hell no.
Oh, I'm so curious. Okay, so when Shion comes back, like, she starts crying, and I just had this thought, like, she thought she was never gonna live again. She thought she was gonna be stuck in her heart, so she is finally standing in front of her friends again, and who wouldn't cry in that moment, let's be honest.
God. And continuing with the theme of ice cream lines in very serious moments, Axel, or I guess Lee at this point, goes just, guess I should have brought some ice cream. And I'm like, what the f-?
Trying to lighten the mood, I guess, but no.
You know, we're in a harrowing situation, and it's real sad right now. You guys want ice cream?
Listen, I was half expecting him to pull out some fucking popsicles, like some sort of ice cream dealer.
Like how he did with like Kyrie earlier. Like, where was he?
How many pockets?
He's got refrigerated pockets.
Yes, the fire guy has refrigerated pockets.
You know, it makes sense.
He melts everything otherwise.
Exactly.
My God.
Yeah, but all the big reunions in Kingdom Hearts 3, I cried. Oh, I still cry every time I watch those cutscenes.
God, just, I remember the first time I was playing, and I got to that point where, like, you can choose between helping Aqua or helping Kyrie in the Keyblade Graveyard, and I saw Hooded Figure and Kingdom Key, and I went, Xion? And I, like, bolted over to that section. Like, I was so excited.
So, I'm one of those people. I have never owned a gaming system in my life. I do not have the hand-eye coordination for gaming. I learned pretty early on that I had more fun watching other people play. So that's what my friend and I were doing. Like, she was playing, and I was sitting there reacting with her. You know?
That's fair.
And there was a point where she literally paused. We had to literally just, during those fights, we just had to literally, like, pause the game and cry.
Understandable.
It is not a Kingdom Hearts game unless you have to cry during the final boss.
Oh, right. Also, I also yelled at Xehanort a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, stop making me feel bad for you.
Right in his goodbye speech?
God.
Right? Stop! I don't want to like you. I don't
Can we talk about him? Can we talk about him getting his ass beat by an anime character and two Disney characters, and him just going, like the along the lines of, "Yeah, this was pretty much a test. Well done." And I'm just like, "Nah."
You know what?
Beg your pardon?
No, get your fucking ghost ass back
why
here.
Why would you take out Kyrie then? If it was
that's my like. Motivation. I have complaints with Kingdom Hearts 3, like pacing wise. I know a lot of people have issues with it, but I truly enjoyed it. Other than fucking fridging Kyrie for no reason. He didn't need the fucking motivation, Xehanort.
I mean, it's already about. They always screw Kyrie over. Let's be honest.
I know, and it's so sad.
She was almost a character. She almost did something.
At least
the
they
only
kind
reason.
Of, yeah.
The only reason I can think of them doing that is, you know, story-wise, that's what pushed Sora over the edge. In the pushing his heart and the power of waking too far.
I mean, I guess Xehanort could have known that, or at the very least planned for that, because he says he plans for every eventuality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's fair, but just stop shafting Kyrie, guys.
Mm-hmm. Gosh dang it.
Melody of Memory was not enough.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, at least
no, because fucking even
remind.
In Melody, even in her own fucking game, she didn't get to have the final fight. It was like Sora, like, overlaid over her.
Yep.
No, don't.
Like, I guess they didn't want to make a Kyrie model and fight.
That they had from Remind already.
Had her animations.
Yeah. Like, they would totally screw it up. I want this game, but Nomura would screw it up because he can't do girls. But I would love a Kingdom Hearts game titled Kingdom Hearts Queens, and it's Kyrie, Aqua, Naminé, and Xion.
That could actually happen, considering that Kyrie's starting to train under Aqua now, after Melody of Memory.
That's been a thought in my mind since Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. I was like, I want a game where, Aqua's the master, and she's training all three of those, and, like, it's sort of like a Birth by Sleep, where you play as each of them. Or maybe, like they're your party members, but you can swap between your party members at will or something.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like, they could probably do a better version of the KH3 approach, where, like, you play as different characters in different sections if they let you play as them for longer. I think that would be fine. Like, instead of just for one boss fight, you could, like, explore, like, entire worlds with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in certain sections, like, kind of almost like Devil May Cry. Like Devil May Cry 5, where, like, in certain sections you have to be characters, but in other sections you can pick who you want.
Yeah.
I think that'd be neat.
That would be fun. Or, like, someone mentioned it in one of the chats, or basically pitched, like, almost like a Super Smash Brothers idea, but just the Kingdom Hearts characters.
I would buy that game in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Pre-order day one.
Like a Dissidia-type game?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a mod I found, like, a while ago. It's probably been the Dissidia, like, Kingdom Hearts over Dissidia. Like, stuff. It was really cool. It was really well made.
They've been getting
crazy
with the Kingdom Hearts 3 mods.
Bro, I'm waiting for two right now. There's this one that's super sick for Shion by Discount Modder. And I'm really hoping they somehow incorporate this, like, into a future Kingdom Hearts game if Shion's ever, like, returning. Because it's basically, like, her copying other people's fighting styles.
Ooh. That's so smart.
Like, she has... I know, like, you can look it up on Twitter, Discount Mod's Twitter. But there's, like, there's a dual form style, like, a double form style that follows, like, Roxas's movements. There's Sunset style for Lee's fighting style. There's Saix's Claymore Berserk style. Aericus's freaking, like, Blade Master style, I think is what they called it, where, like, you can get the chains and stuff. And, like, it's so... And, like, Riku's Dawn style, like, it's so sick, and I'm waiting for it to come out. Going to be doing a whole playthrough just on that.
I'm obsessed with the Colosseum mod.
That's the other one. That's the other one I was obsessed with.
It's so good. It's so clean.
I want that to come out so bad, because they're doing such a good job with it. Because they're doing, like, all this, like, cool stuff where it's, like, different fights in, like, different, like, daytime settings, but also with, like, different characters and different restrictions. And the restrictions can get wild, and it's super cool. And you can fight multiple data battles at once. Like, there's a whole cup, I think, for, like, multiple data battles together. Which is insane.
That's terrifying.
Well, that's one thing that, like, I think a lot of people are disappointed. A lot of people were disappointed in 3 about was, like, there were certain things that had always been in the games that just suddenly weren't. The Final Fantasy Colosseum, like, is just I would have been fine without the Final Fantasy characters if we had a Colosseum built into the game.
Yeah, Battle Gates did not cut it, I will say. They were fun. I liked them. But just having to travel around, like, every world to try and find, like, the fights and stuff, I'd much rather just have a Colosseum-style thing where I can just, like, spend an hour just, like, grinding out the Colosseum.
Yeah. I mean, from a purely story point of view, it makes sense that they didn't have the Colosseum.
Yeah.
But gameplay-wise,
yeah, or at the very least something similar. Like, you don't necessarily need to have it in Hercules, like, in Thebes or whatever, but you could have it somewhere else. I just wouldn't really know. Like,
I mean, like, Big Hero 6, I guess you could have, like, make sense. Possibly.
Yeah, like, simulation.
Simulation.
Almost like what the Mirage Arena was.
Yeah, exactly.
In Birth by Sleep. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know, some crazy idea would be, like, there's a spot in the Keyblade Graveyard with, like, maybe, like, Ephemer and the Lights of the Past, like, training you or something. I don't know.
Okay. That Ephemer's more, you know, Union Cross craziness that I'm just trying to wrap my head around still.
Also, I know I cut John off on accident, and I wanted to make sure he could talk. Where he's not. There he is.
Do you guys think that they're going to put Union Cross cross on a console?
I would love that.
Yeah,
but I would really love.
Gameplay is so boring for those.
It's really a matter of
hate the gameplay.
Yeah, the gameplay. I would say if they ever like were to do it like an MMO, I feel like that'd be the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I play for the story. So the way Union Cross and those games were set up was just like, I don't want to fight the Heartless over and over and over and over again. I want the story.
Literally, two hundred chapters before you get to like to the next story part of just stupid quests, like go defeat this many enemies or.
And like it would be fine, but like back when I was playing it, you get just gifted so many like OP medals that you one shot everything
until a certain point, and then it just
I know, but you can't get your player base.
Start in the morning.
And the thing is, now you can't play it anymore.
Yeah, they took it offline, didn't they? And then I don't know what
they never finished Dark Road.
Which sucks because I was excited for that. But yeah,
We heard for Dark Road, they're gonna leave it playable once they finish it, but it'll be offline.
But that was in like September of last year.
And they said that it should come out winter, so we have another month. Supposedly, maybe they'll drop it towards the end of March.
March is spring.
If it's before the 21st, it still counts as winter.
You know,
I guess that's a good point. For the spring equinox,
is next month the 20th anniversary? Or is that in May?
Yeah, the 20th anniversary is March 28th, I think. But they're having the 20th anniversary event 13 days later on April 10th.
Foreshadowing, yeah. Maybe?
They're not just gonna...
Which is also the 104 building.
Yep.
If you do it in that date, so...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
I read that they weren't actually going to be streaming that, like...
That's what they've said, is they won't be live streaming it, but at least parts of it will be made available later.
Okay, when are we going to get it?
Yeah, because no I want to see. I mean, obviously, there'll probably be people that take videos and stuff, but...
Well, they've said that absolutely no video is allowed, but they've also... It's a very limited event. There's only 100 people doing
a lottery. Which I think is really weird, to limit the event so much. They have a... absolutely massive following all over the world.
I think it's because they're going to announce something insane.
Yeah, I mean, they said that we weren't getting any new news until 2022, which this year
is 2022.
Now 2022.
So, oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's probably foolish, but I really believe that we're going to get early on this year an announcement for Kingdom Hearts 4. And it'll release later this year, sort of like what happened with Melody of Memories.
I'm so hooked.
I feel like if it isn't Kingdom Hearts 4, it'd definitely be at least like a good story beat. Kind of like what Dream Drop Distance was before 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like something similar to that, and then 4, if they were to do it that way, I guess. Like, if they had the Kairi-focused game, or, like, the Aqua-focused game or something.
The only reason I think 4, and I might be misremembering, but I thought that before Melody Memories came out, Nomura had some statement of, like, there will be one game released before Kingdom Hearts 4. And then Melody came out. I could be misremembering. Maybe it was after Melody that they said that.
I could look it up and see if we find it, but yeah.
So I was playing these games back in like 2006, which is aging me a bit, but that was right after 2 came out.
Mm-hmm.
And a you go through, you know, if you go through and do all the things, get journals, all of that stuff, you get the secret movie that, unless I'm remembering wrong, but it, like, is the trailer for Birth by Sleep.
Yeah,
it was the Birth by Sleep trailer, yeah.
But back then, everyone thought that that was Kingdom Hearts 3, and it was going to be about this Keyblade War. It was going to be this huge thing, and we didn't know who these new people were, and there was all this speculation.
I guess it's also the pattern of, like, they like to do secret movie, like, the secret movies don't tell the next game, but the game after itself. Like, Kingdom Hearts 2 did Birth by Sleeps, because I think after Kingdom Hearts 2 was 358, which, one of the game's secret movies was the 358 over 2 days scene with Roxas Kingdom and Riku, which is Kingdom Hearts 1, because Chain of Memories couldn't have that at the time. So, I guess if they're still following that pattern, Kingdom Hearts 3 had the secret movie, that would mean, if it wasn't referencing Melody of Memory, because it wouldn't have, the next game should be regarding what was happening in that movie, which is the whole Quadratum stuff.
I was going to say, like, what are we... Yzora.
Do we play... Yeah. It's a whole Yzora-focused game.
That's a big theory going around to the community, is, like, the next game is going to basically not be Kingdom Hearts 4, but be Kingdom Hearts Vrom Rex or something. Play Yzora story.
My big idea, we're going to some kind of multiverse situation where Yzora has gone through similar ordeals that Sora has in his universe. And that's what led them to this point.
They're going to start doing it like Pokemon games, where there's going to be two of them that you play at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
As long as they're
also
Leaf Fledged, I wouldn't hate that.
There's a lot of speculation about, like, incorporating Final Fantasy 15 or the original, like, Versus 13 concept into.
Yeah.
Whatever's next, being a much darker, more serious game.
Vrom Rex pulled pretty heavily from Versus 13, if I remember right.
And apparently, like, the song that plays City in the secret ending exactly is also, like, a Versus 13.
Yeah, everything surrounding Yzora is basically like, here's all of Nomura's scrapped ideas for Versus 13 because they changed it into 15.
I just want.
Because he wanted Versus 13, and they made him do 15 instead, and he's like, fine.
Yeah, he was like, fine. I guess I'll throw it into my other series.
Yeah, that's why it's so funny to me that it's the realm of fiction. It's like,
unreality.
This is all this stuff that I didn't get to do. The unreality, the reality I couldn't make. Now I'm going to fucking make it, guys.
But I'm still doing it anyway, because I'm a badass.
Bruh.
Which. I think his plan might have been for a while to put something like that in and focus on to the World Ends With You stuff. Because until we got that remake, that final mix a couple years ago, and it had a huge good reaction, they weren't going to make any other Tooie games. And because that got such a good reaction, they got to make Neo Tooie.
I need to play those games, actually. I haven't played those yet.
Me either. I feel bad.
One of my roommate's friends was talking to me about it, and he's like, you need to play those games. Like, they're super good. And I'm like, I know. But my DS emulator doesn't have touchscreen capabilities.
I think that's the final mix is on Switch.
It is. I might get it if it works on the Switch Lite, because I think it can do touchscreen stuff. But I know he said, like, just the DS version, like, controls a little better.
Yeah, because you had to do all sorts of different stuff on the touchscreen while different stuff was happening on the top screen.
Yeah. I don't know. My classes are letting up next month, so, I mean, I might be able to. Like, since I'll have time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there was something else I was trying to talk about, and I forgot what it was. Shoot, I don't know. That'll probably come back to me when we're, like, talking about something completely unrelated to it.
So, I guess here's a question, something to discuss. What do you guys think being unchained means? Like, what does that entail?
Being
unchained?
I feel like it seemed like unchained meant something similar to being in a dreaming world.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I'm trying to remember where this comes from off the top of my head, because I don't remember any mention of Unchained.
From Kingdom Hearts Key Unchained. What Union Cross was before it became Union Cross.
Was that the one where they were doing the... I know because the original one was the browser thing, and that was what happened before the Dandelion simulation. Is Unchained the one with, like, where they're inside of the, like, Dandelion's simulation
they're
thing?
They're inside the Dandelion simulation, but it's like still repeating what happened before up until the end of Unchained is when the Dandelion Union leaders all show up in the graveyard and talk to each other.
Maybe it was like unchaining them from like the memory of the Keyblade War, possibly. Not entirely sure.
Ava uses the term an unchained state. An unchained state to describe Ephemer at one point.
Yeah, because he basically, she sent him off to go start creating this something
mm-hmm.
to do with where the Dandelions were going to end up. And he had to be in an unchained state for that. Whatever the fuck that means.
Whatever that means. However...
Probably disconnected from reality, if I were to guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of makes sense. One of the things I've been thinking, at least for it, is, like, also connected to, like, how Ephemer was there to help with the from the Light of the Past and all the Keyblades and stuff.
That actually makes a ton of sense.
And, like, what if Unchained is, you know, a step away from the way reality works?
Like, he's not following the standard rules of...
Yeah.
So he killed Sora and broke all the rules of the universe.
Listen, man, it happened before, it'll happen again. Like,
one of my thoughts is, you know, what if he exists, he's in Unchained, it's kind of the situation where he is nowhere and everywhere, and he is completely removed from time, but he is also all time, but he doesn't exist at all.
So he's ephemeral?
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Hang on, let me make sure I have the right word, because I remember seeing something about that. Hang
you
on.
You have the right word.
You did. That's the correct
word. That's
the right word. Ephemeral means lasting for a very short time, though.
It means, like, it can go in and out. I work in land management, and we talk about ephemeral, or the other word for it. There's another similar word.
Yeah. Like, I was just trying to make sure I had the right one, because I remember seeing something about it on, like, Pinterest or something, but yeah.
I've always, like, defined ephemeral as something that is hard to grasp. Like, it's not a solid thing.
I thought that was ethereal.
It's ethereal.
Yeah, that's ethereal.
But that word also comes up a lot.
Yeah, like, kind of like those two words are associated with ephemer, which, if that's the reason for that name, Nomura, I applaud you, but god dang it, man.
I mean, look at the freaking foretellers, man. They're named after, like, the seven freaking deadly sins.
I know.
Other than good old pride.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's mom.
What the fuck do you guys think the master's real name is? I know everybody keeps going on about how it's Light because he says, don't trust what you hear or something. And then when he says his name, the screen goes white.
It's Demix, guys. What do you mean? It's either Demix or Time Traveling Sora.
I really hate both of those ideas.
Because they could be true.
I was watching a Siri video where someone suggested the name Astrum.
I think I watched that video too.
I could see that.
Because it refers to, like, the Latin straight up, they use Astrum in Latin, it refers to, like, any sort of celestial heavenly body or source of light. Also, Latin.
Yeah, no, Latin is a very prominent
thing.
Which
is a very Nomura thing to do.
It's a very prominent thing now because of Scala ad Caelum now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even, like, going back to, like, the main characters' names as well, like, Sora, Kairi, and Riku, like,
Sora was Japanese, but yeah.
But then going to Aqua Terra Ventus, who are also named.
Yes.
But those are the Latin. That's when he really started getting into Latin.
That's when, like, he found that language and he's like, ooh, I can use this.
Although his new obsession has been Norse gods.
Mm. That is also true with the frozen boss, Fenrir.
Mm-hmm.
Or Skald, sorry, not Fenrir, it was Skald.
Yeah.
And then going
which
into,
confused me for a second.
Road.
The whole Skald thing, because I saw it and they were like, it's Skald, and I was like, wait, how did they pronounce? How was the girl's?
The girl's name is Skald. Skald. The Norse one is Skull. There's no D. It's like S K O, with like the two dots.
S K O L. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think Demix and Luxord's real names are?
Luxord is, first off, that's a, whoever keeps guessing the names correctly, I honestly forget, between Cronus, Riley, and Darylis.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
Cronus.
That's a Cronus. That's a Cronus question. That's a Cronus question.
I think they made a guess, and I don't remember what it was.
So, I don't know Demix. I've never found one that I like for Demix. Luxord, there's a Latin word, Ludor, which I think is basically a bastardization of the Latin verb, I play.
You're kidding me.
Gosh!
Well, that's it.
That's it.
100%. It's also, right now.
I found one that was, I found one for Demix that was really funny, and it's like, his name is just like, however you pronounce DM, Y, and he just put an X at the end because he was lazy.
You know, that fits his character.
That does fit. I mean, except that Xemnas is the one who named everyone.
I know, which is like, doesn't really fit. The only one I could...
But so,
could it be MIDI, but spelled bad?
Dime?
I keep going to Dime, because that's the only one that would work, but like it just doesn't work very well. I know Luxord is probably going to get revealed whenever we get the whole Versus 13 stuff, because I think he's the driver. Yeah.
I think Remind, Luxord and Demix talk to each other like they knew each other before they were nobodies. From the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because they're still part of the, what was it? Because Xemnas talks about how they're also part of the Keyblade legacy, I think is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's like, when they have the conversation between Larxene, Marluxia, Luxord, and Demix, the way it's set up, we know Larxene and Marluxia knew each other before. Lorium and Elraina. Luxord is from Quadratum.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I got definite vibes that Luxord and Demix were connected in a similar way that Marluxia and Larxene were.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah. I have seen a theory that Demix isn't Master of Masters, but you know, like versus 13 and 15, he had Noctis slash.
The
Prompto.
Prompto.
Yeah, they're missing their Prompto. Yeah. So what if that's Demix?
Just under a different name or something?
Like, Demix would have filled the same role as Prompto.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Yeah, sorry. It would just be a different name. But that's fair.
And it's, their character models definitely look like people who would be from that city.
Mm-hmm. And like,
than anyone else.
So... We know that it's slight, but the, I don't know. So I was thinking with the whole, you know, Luke Sword being part of that team, he doesn't, I was trying to decide, like, if he was in the Verum Rex trailer from Toy Box. Can't decide, I don't think he doesn't
show up.
He doesn't look enough like the guy with the sword. Because that's the only person he could have been.
Yeah, I think...
But,
assuming he is from Khajad-dûm, which we all kind of assume, but...
Voice actors tell a lot.
Maybe, like, comparing it to 15, he would fill, like, a core role?
Maybe. Mm. Everyone keeps saying he's, like, the Ignis.
Since he's the
They already have their Ignis.
But having a core, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously need to play 15.
I cannot listen to Stan Benny without crying.
It's a good game for one playthrough. I have never been able to finish like a second playthrough because it's such a slow start.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. If you can get it on PC.
But it's good. I cry a lot. What?
I said I've played it a second time because when it came out on PC, I was able to get the definitive edition with all the DLC, and that last DLC is real good.
Oh, the DLC for 15 is great. It just shouldn't have been DLC.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I don't like when DLC gives you more of the story. If it's story, it should have been in the game to begin with.
It depends on how they do it. I feel like there's some ways that you could do that, but just if it's like essential to understand the story, it probably shouldn't be like that. If it's bonus story, that's probably fine.
Because the episode Gladio, Ignis, Prompto were all DLCs, right? They were more, you know.
They kind of fill in the blanks of stuff.
15 was following Noctis, and these ones followed the other guys in times that Noctis wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, during the main story, each of your companions goes off on their own for some time. And when they come back, something major has changed about them, either physically or mentally. And it's just never explained unless you play the DLC.
I know, to be fair, I think the whole DLC bundle is actually pretty cheap right now. So,
yeah, anyway, but it wasn't when it came out.
Yeah,
sorry.
The issue.
Never are.
No, you're fine. I got sucked into it too.
Yeah.
So what do you think Synchronous is going to figure out way too early?
Next thing Synchronous is going to figure out way too early.
Hang on. So we're on Aqua story right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that Terra's the.
I swear to God, if she calls Terra is the guardian, I'm going to flip my shit.
They already called Castle Oblivion being Land of Departure.
Oh, did I say she? I meant they. I apologize.
I don't know. I made the same mistake. I don't know if you made it first, but I know I did.
Yeah, no, sorry.
I don't think they've called it yet.
Okay, that.
I could definitely see them calling. There's three things I could see them calling. One is the whole Terra is the Guardian. Like, Terra's soul is stuck in the Guardian. But they probably aren't going to try and call that until we get to the final episode of Birth by Sleep, mm-hmm. where you actually see that.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is probably the whole Land of Departure is Castle Oblivion. But before, like, it's... But to be fair, I think that gets shown in Birth by Sleep, so...
It does.
They don't have a lot of time if they're going to get to that one.
The third one, this one's more would just be funny, and it probably comes later down the line once we see Lee come back, is that Lee gets Keyblade.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Dream drop distance.
Mm.
Because when I tell you that I like stood up when I saw that scene,
I squealed.
Just it's in like, the flick of the wrist or something. Oh,
Lee is a fan favorite for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I got loads of people rooting for me.
That moment in KH3, you're like, of course Axel will be the one to do the fourth wall break. Of course.
Sorry, boss. No one axes Axel.
They tried, and it didn't work.
It's so funny. It's so funny because it's building up to this like super cool moment, and then he just grabs it and just goes, "Are you fucking done?" Like Xemnas is one of my favorite villains in this entire franchise.
So good.
Xemnas is great.
Mm-hmm.
He chokes out the mouse.
I could see Cronus
calling out the mouse. That moment, oh man, I can't wait.
As he rightfully deserves.
Everyone should.
Choke out the mouse.
There's literally a meme I found that's like, that mentions that.
I know, it's so funny. I know the exact one you're talking about.
Yeah. I haven't put it on the meme thing because I don't want it to, like, one spoiled on it. It's so good.
Yeah. You can put it in the DDD spoiler section.
I technically could. I just have to find it again is the thing.
What scene is that?
It's the one in the staff room. By that point, it would be, what, staff room 5.0?
Because they're trying to stop Xehanort from turning Sora into one of his vessels.
Yeah.
So Mickey shows up for Riku, and then Mickey goes to, like, get Sora... Or someone does it, and then, like, Xemnas and Ansem come in, and Xemnas just fucking, like, choke slams Mickey into a chair.
So, here's something Cronus might pick up on. Cronus might pick up on, depending on how you present it, Austin. Do you think Cronus would pick up on the Dream Eater sigil on Riku's back?
Ooh, that's true.
Oh yeah, you're not wrong.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Like, so this depends a lot on like what kind of pictures you show.
That has to be a sort of character, often. Like if you decide to show the outfits.
I'm definitely gonna have to show
back views.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to give them the opportunity to find it out and show them the back as well.
I also think if like they don't figure out the Terra Guardian thing in Birth by Sleep, they could figure it out in Dream Drop, since you know the whole Guardian doing the hand thing.
That was a confirmation. Mm-hmm. Like people were going, I think Terra might be the Guardian, and then they did that in Dream Drop Distance, and everyone's like, it's Terra.
Yeah, like everyone like squealed. Yeah.
That was so satisfying. I think. I think Cronus is going to call either Kairi dying or Sora dying, but not both.
They've already called Sora dying.
Called Sora dying. I think I think they have to call it the way that they go out. I think it's what they have to do.
Yeah.
The universe ejects him.
First said, you're done.
You're like, you can't work here anymore. You don't even go here anymore.
Also,
he doesn't even go here.
On DDD still, can we just talk about how raw of a line when young Xehanort says, hands off my vessel?
Oof.
I don't know what they did to it, but like that line gave me chills every time I heard it.
Young Xehanort might be the most intimidating Xehanort.
Young Xehanort definitely has the benefit of a good voice, like a good VA, because of like how unhinged they can make him sound at times, but how he's usually calm.
Like when he's defeated in KH3, like everyone else up to that point was just like had these super heartfelt moments with Sora, but then he's just like, screw you, I gotta go back to where I am, but you're dead.
I'm in this world.
You can't have, like, be happy at the end because he's the beginning of it all. Everybody else, it's kind of the end of their stories.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's the only one that would remember the time shenanigans because his whole thing is time travel.
So, something that I was talking about with the Master of Masters is I was talking to my friend, and I was like, the Master of Masters, his personality reminded me, and I described him as a combination of Zigbar and Axel. And then we got the Lushu reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, flipped something.
Are you saying that the Master of Masters is actually Axel?
No.
It makes sense why Zigbar acts the way he does. Because he was trained by... Yeah.
I find it interesting. I have to wonder when... And when exactly Lushu handed off No Name? Because most of the time we've known Brig and Zigbar, his underlying thing has been getting his hands on No Name again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe it's less of a he didn't give it away, Xehanort took it.
Well, because it was hanging on the wall in Stella Ad Kalim.
Yeah, so he definitely gave it away at some point. I feel like he may have gone back and given it to Fomer or somebody. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because, assuming we understand what's going on with the brain Lushu stuff at the end. I interpreted
the arc in general.
The arc.
You mean the freaking time travel crap in Union
the
Cross? The whole Hollow Bastion thing.
Pod thingies.
Pod thingies. I forgot that was called the arc. Yeah.
Gamora never forgets.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's so funny. That one offshoot thing from Kingdom Hearts 1 is now this big player in Union Cross.
And in Melody of Memory, because that's how Kairi.
Yeah.
Gets out of that.
Yeah. That's how Kairi got to Destiny Islands.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Siri video where I don't remember which one it was, but the person goes, it could be just a offhand thing, but this is Nomura, so
nope.
It's Nomura. We've made that mistake before.
We've made that mistake.
Yeah,
too many
we
times.
Didn't pay attention to Riku's clothes.
Right.
I just thought the sigil was a cool little thing. Nope. Right? Turns out he's a dream eater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like. Oh my god.
I think that Lushu took Brain's body for a while, but made sure that his hat and people who knew him would be in Skull Ad Kylum later, so that he could then use the arc on Brig's heart and send Brig to that future.
Mm-hmm.
Brig, not Brig.
Maybe. Well, so I actually, when they first started, when we got to the point where we first introduced the second generation of Foretellers, right? I said, one of the things I asked my friend was, brain sound like brag.
Yeah, I think they were trying to hint stuff to us about, like, that being one of Lushu's vessels, but...
Yeah, so I had no idea what was going on. I didn't even know, I don't even remember if I knew that Zigbar was Lushu, but I'd already called the brain brag connection.
God, isn't brain supposed to be, like, one of Ericus's ancestors also?
Yeah, that would make sense.
I would suggest that,
they
yeah.
use the same facial thing, supposedly.
They also sick. Have the same Keyblade, because he used mm-hmm. Master's Defender.
Mm-hmm.
God. We'll see if
Scream when Ventus showed up and fusion crossed. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, Kingdom Hearts is just a trip from start to end. And it's not over yet.
I just remembered, like, somehow I forgot for a second, and then I just remembered, how the fuck did Nomura fucking make the player from Union Cross turn into Xehanort? I hate this
God.
Game.
A friend.
That's either, like...
Xehanort was the friends we made all the way.
I want some of what Nomura was smoking on that, because my God.
And then the Dream Eater reveal too. Can't
and then the Dream Eater. Oh my God! He dropped both of those like right after each other.
Mm-hmm.
The whole ending. Okay.
The whole ending of Union Cross
makes you think of Dream Eaters differently when you're playing Dream Drop Distance.
Yeah. Like I literally, the second time I played Dream Drop Distance, I literally paid attention to my Dream Eaters a lot more than I usually do.
Well, it's just like you're like petting them and giving them treats and stuff. And you're just like, this is a child.
Like I'm you're so sorry.
Person.
So I'm kind of interested in reading you guys all my ramblings from that that fateful day that I watched the Union Cross ending.
Yeah, I want to hear these. I want to see what broke Austin.
So number
what
one
broke Austin and gave
this
us
has a one
podcast.
So the Master's whole plan was to get all of his students, himself and the Dandelion Union leaders, and maybe Maleficent, possessed by original darkness so that somebody can kill them and destroy the darkness once and for all. Presumably this means Vanitas is one of the original darknesses. He did say I am darkness a lot in Kingdom Hearts 3.
To say the fact that he was torn out of Ventus, not a part of Ventus.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like he was already in there still.
I did find that interesting with Ventus and Vanitas is because why was Vanitas fine? Mm-hmm. And Ventus almost died.
Well, because Vanitas
unless Vanitas was already pretty much a whole person.
Vanitas was a whole person that was lied to, I think. And, like, recovered memories, like, throughout his time existing. Which, by the way, Nomura...
I wonder if the darkness lost its memories, too, and thinks it's Vanitas.
Possibly,
also,
yeah.
Nomura, mm-hmm. give us a Vanitas game now, because I would pay good money to play as Vanitas.
I was half convinced that something cool would happen with Vanitas, where, like, he turned good or something. Because before Kingdom Hearts 3, he was the only villain that had a Pop Funko release. Like, they didn't even have a Roxas yet, but they had a Vanitas.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't turn out to be anything.
I remember me and my brother...
Not yet.
I remember me and my older brother talking, because my older brother was super into Birth by Sleep when that came out, about and like me and my friend as well, talking about what would have happened if Ventus and Vanitas had fused, like, just in order to, like, defeat Xehanort and then, like, could unfuse. And, like, you have the, like, fake Beyblade against the real Beyblade. I'm still going to call it Beyblade.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to at this point.
I have to.
On this show, yeah. It is the Beyblade.
It's the Beyblade.
But, like, seeing, like, Xehanort's own, like, failed attempt at creating the Beyblade come after him.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty wild.
Like, would have been so sick.
Something I thought of, and I don't know exactly how well it tracks, but I thought it was kind of funny, is there seems to be, in some ways, you know, the Heart of Pure Light and the Heart of Pure Darkness, basically, like, I interpreted that as, like, the two equal forces.
Yeah.
Colliding. So that was one attempt to form the Beyblade, right?
That was
equal forces of light and dark. And then the second time, it takes 13 darknesses to match the 7 lights. When the last time, it was equal, they were equal powers.
To be fair, it might have been because Xehanort maybe didn't fully understand his research at the time. And, like, throughout the games, like, he was researching more and more.
That's what it feels like. Like, he didn't realize it had to be 13 parts of darkness and 7 parts of light.
I think it's funnier to think that darkness is, the light's strong enough that they need 13 darknesses to match the 7 lights.
It's like, one light equals about 2 darknesses, give or take.
Yeah.
Depending on how strong the darknesses are.
I mean, either answer works because that whatever the case, the balance wasn't perfect. That's why the Beyblade stayed broken in sleep. I don't think it was actually because Ventus was resisting.
It was because it wasn't the right formula.
So number 2. So Lucius the traitor. Is that because he hijacked Brain's body and interfered with the Union leaders? Or is it because he doesn't let himself be possessed by original darkness?
For the master's plan, it would definitely be the second one, I think.
Yeah. But part of his plan was to watch and not interfere, and he did hijack Brain's body.
And he interfered. Yeah. So he probably for both reasons, honestly. Mm-hmm. Depending on if Mom did intend for Lushu to have get a pure darkness inside of him. Because I thought, because he was also using Lushu to just watch.
Another thing, I mentioned it in the Union Cross chat before I was going over. Gula tells Ava that the traitor is the one who bears the sigil. And of the foretellers, Lushu is the only one with an X in his name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why did I never notice that?
To be fair, I was watching Got It Memorized. I was listening to Got It Memorized, and they basically went from Dream Drop Distance. They went very fast from Dream Drop Distance to Back Cover.
And so you still
I listened to them like back to back.
Of the sigil.
And so I put that together. I was like, oh crap.
I do not know enough about Union Cross is the only one, like Kingdom Hearts game I struggle to understand. I know enough about it to get by, but I'm like, God dang it, bro.
I'm kind of in the same position.
I know enough about Maleficent's crap, the foreteller stuff, and like the master of and like anything by the ending. Anything but other than those 3 major things, nothing.
Those are the important things, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
So where's Ava?
That's the question. That's what.
In Kingdom Hearts 3, where's Ava?
I saw a thing, and I don't remember exactly how it was worded. People think Ava is Kairi.
I've seen one where Ava is Kairi's grandmother.
That's what I meant. Grandma. Sorry, Ava is Kairi's grandmother, not Kairi.
Ava is Kairi's grandmother.
Also, some people think that she's that she might be Subject X.
Yeah.
I think that's Scold, but
yeah,
I think that's Scold.
Yeah, Scold is. I think it's universally accepted that Subject X is Scold. But yeah, Ava's probably.
Nomura could still say nope.
It is Nomura.
General consensus is that Subject X is Scold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's who Lee and Isa were looking for.
So here's some random crackpot question. Is Isaac going to get a Keyblade? Is that something that's going to happen?
I mean,
I don't know. I guess it depends on how much they have to do with the story continuing on.
Yeah.
That's
who knows
it.
With him?
Because I saw
the other two people in his trio, presumably, because presumably Subject X would be part of his trio. The other two would have Keyblades, so it would make sense, but it wouldn't have to be.
I saw a design for it where it's like looks like pretty much like his Claymore,
but slightly smaller.
Like, the only thing that really changed was just the handle got the ring around it, like most Keyblades have.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't like look like a traditional Keyblade. It's almost similar to more like Braveheart, where it doesn't have the unique like skeleton key design.
Mm-hmm.
Austin, have any other notes?
More notes.
I have some, but some of them I've kind of gotten over since then. Like after I wrote it after initially watching, so my brain wasn't fully processed yet. So number three was, did the player character's heart go on to become Xehanort, or did they go to sleep like everybody else in the data world? Obviously, mm-hmm. I fully believe he became Xehanort now.
Yes, he is 100% Xehanort.
Also, I have, what time point did Brain show up in Skull Al-Kylum? Also, what the fuck? I thought right before that we got a shot of Lushu having possessed his body. Is Brain body snatched or not?
Yeah.
I now believe that both things are true.
Yeah, Brain is... It's a body-snatched brain in Skull Al-Kylum.
I think it's a body-snatched brain, and then a regular brain sent through the Ark to the future after Lushu's done with his body.
Well, that's terrifying. Just being Brain. That's terrifying being Brain. You get body-snatched, don't remember what happened, and then, like, when you get, like, perception back, you're just, like, in the future? Like, what?
Yeah.
God, that's terrifying.
Was the shadow figure in the ocean Ephemer before he founded Skull Al-Kylum? Does that mean he didn't make it out of the past? That makes sense.
Mm.
Was the shadow figure approaching Ventus Xehanort? And if not, who the fuck was it? Do the four original darknesses trapped in the data passage get out?
It is...
We don't. Do we know about that one? Because the only original darkness we know of is Vanitas at this point.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that they'll be released in a future game if they haven't already.
Yeah.
At the very least, we get some exposition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was just my thought at the time. I was like, do these fuckers get out? Do we already know about these guys? I don't know.
Yeah.
The only two that we know of is one was hanging out with Maleficent, so she might have one hanging out. We know about Vanitas, and then presumably all the Union leader, the original Union leaders.
Wait,
we have one.
That just reminded me of something about like Maleficent and them, because I saw a very crackpot theory. I forget where I saw it, but people think that Skuld is inside the black box.
I've also seen that. I think it's more likely that the true Dandelion is inside the box.
That is probably also what happened.
And one of my questions is the true Dandelion Strelitzia?
I can see that.
Be like the bandaged body thing that Lushu sent. I don't know. It's Nomura's.
It's Nomura. We can theorize all we want and only half of it'll be true.
Yep.
I just want to see what Cronus gets. I just want to see what Cronus picks up on. That's really funny.
And then I wrote, if any of you dared to read this, yes, there is a human man with the name Brain in Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still not the weirdest name.
Nope.
Not by.
I wondered if it should be like Brian or Lane.
It's just a mistranslation and we just know him as Brain.
Well, because the Japanese L and R,
yeah,
are pretty much the L and R sounds are basically the same thing in Japanese.
Either Brain or Blaine.
Yeah.
I feel like they would have cleared that up by now.
Mm-hmm.
But Nomura is also one to just take a mistake and just roll with it.
Yeah, he would absolutely just run with something like that.
Or make it a plot point of the next game.
That happened when Birth by Sleep, because originally everyone thought Unversed were called the Unbirthed because of a translation issue.
Yeah, that's right. My older brother was talking about that.
So it's possible that it's supposed to be Blaine.
I don't know. But also, this is Kingdom Hearts. Weird names are kind of all over the place.
That's true.
Especially if you have an X in it.
Going back to the sigil, though, I've had a thought. You know, it felt like it came out of nowhere that, the X on Sora's outfit meant that Xehanort could track him. But then if you look at Ventus, Aqua, Terra, Xehanort, Ericus, all the fucking other students in Dark Road,
they all have
the X. So I wonder if it is like traditionally a thing that like you have this so your master can keep track of you.
I could definitely see that, especially with Ericus's whole, don't want to say paranoia, but like he did kind of shelter those three.
Mm-hmm. He was too blinded by light to.
I think he was terrified to lose them all because presumably he's going to lose all his friends in Dark Road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's already lost everybody.
Like it's some sort of
other than Xehanort, and he kind of emotionally
put the scars on Ericus.
Yeah.
Like Xehanort has already
he's already injured
Ericus.
And he knows about Ventus, and he doesn't want Ventus to get corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he already knew about Ventus's purpose.
But like, I just posted a Dark Road picture. Every single one of them has it too. So I kind of think that it's not like something that only the Masters and Xehanort figured out. It's like this is a thing that's just known.
It's like a normal Masters design thing for Keyblade builders.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like Masters use it to keep track of their students for their safety, presumably.
And then Nomura gave everyone plaid.
Plaid. Okay, I love the plaid though. I think the three are my favorite outfits.
Mm. There's the zippers, there was the belts, and then there was the plaid.
Now there's plaid.
Yeah, I think three has my favorite outfits for the Destiny Islands trio.
I like Riku's Kingdom Hearts 2 outfit more than his 3 outfit, but I also just like
the Dream Drop Distance one.
The Dream Drop Distance one is absolutely my favorite out of Riku's.
The Dream Drop Distance one's my favorite. I miss his longer hair.
I feel like the haircut
in Dream Drop Distance, the haircut was like, and then it fit better in 3.
Yeah, I think just because the longer hair kind of fit the whole 2 look, where it was not disheveled, but definitely like.
Hadn't been taking care, like that had not been his priority.
Yeah, you know, his priority was making sure he wasn't, you know, overcome by darkness again. Man, my man had a belly button crop top. Like,
while I do think that it is funny that he gets a haircut from being attacked by a wave of shadows, I also find it fucking ridiculous that was like such a big part of that dream theory that was going around right after Kingdom Hearts 3. I was like,
to be fair,
Kingdom Hearts, anything could happen. Do you really think that that alone means it's a dream?
This is also the same series where a wave of shadows took off Mickey's shirt to preserve continuity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need that mouse nude.
We need that mouse shirtless. People are gonna know.
Like, and it literally just dissolves off of him. It doesn't tear off of him or anything. It just dissolves. Which, I mean, I suppose you could make some arguments with. Like, you know, if they're clothes that are like Sora's and where they're designed to kind of do what the Black Organization clothes do, you know, protect you against darkness. Yeah.
They're definitely a lot more advanced in that magic.
Mm-hmm.
Because keep in mind, that was Mickey's early clothes back when they still had Keyblade armor for that reason.
Yes.
So maybe it's just, it couldn't have withstand it, and then his clothes in cage 2, and that's why he, well, that's not why he wore the hood in cage 2, but it probably helped until he took it off when Goofy died.
They'll pay for this.
That was really good, actually.
So, thanks. They actually, like, we laugh about it now, because of course they wouldn't kill off Goofy. Like, but when you're watching it for the first time, there is that moment where you're like, oh crap, did we just watch Goofy die? There's at least a couple seconds where you fully believe that you're like, did I just watch that? And then, like, you know, afterwards you're like, oh, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, he's not with you for, like, the lead up to the Thousand Heartless battle, and you're like, oh no, wait.
Right.
I think they played it well. Because, like, yeah, of course, looking back, they're never going to do it. But when it happens to you, at first, you're like, fuck.
And then you do the same thing with Donald in Cage 3 with Zeta Flare.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes him...
fair. Which makes everyone him died in Cage 3.
Yeah.
That is fair, but they really focused on Donald.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Zeta Flare's like Bahamut.
No, Zeta Flare is over Bahamut. Donald Duck is canonically the most powerful black mage in Square Enix. Like, lore.
You ever cast a spell so hard you kill yourself?
Like that flare, like the only, like the, I believe the strongest flare is Mega Flare or Giga Flare from like a Bahamut Zero. And Donald, like,
goes over that.
Took that and said, "No, I'm doing
it. I'm doing the Death Star
a million
being here,
times
man.
Stronger than
that." I kind of feel. Like, yeah.
Didn't Axel
fighting,
just...
No, fighting Xehanort, they were struggling. I kind of feel like he pulled out Zeta Flare too early.
Yeah, agreed. But...
Like, Zeta Flare would have made more sense for, like, the Demon Tide, not just Terranort.
Also, keep in mind, like, the strength of Terranort. He resisted that for a good couple
oh,
seconds.
Right? Like,
before
holy
he was,
crap.
Yeah, before he was obliterated.
Like, he held on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up how strong Terranort is.
Terranort, like, we don't give that man enough credit in terms of, like, well, just raw strength.
So in my, you know, Terra was always just, like, he was brute strength.
Yeah, that's his whole playstyle. Slow,
his,
slow brute.
Yeah, he was absolute brute strength. He would just scatter through anything that they put in front of him. Now imagine Hera's brute strength and Xehanort's power together.
Yeah, that's probably why he
could resist. Freaking wonder Terranort was so powerful.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess you just never realize it because the only other time before that you fought him is as the Lingering Will. Well, I guess also as
Aqua.
And Aqua has Terra's backup the whole time in that fight.
I guess the Lingering Will should like make sense to match his strength more or less.
It's still his resolve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Everyone gives Terra such a hard time for, you know, being super gullible.
He was also a sheltered, like, person who just failed his only dream.
Yeah, who just failed his only dream. And the only people he freaking runs into are the villains. Okay, like, you gotta cut him some slack.
Obviously, that's the first impression of the world. And, like, the villains in Disney movies, especially early Disney movies, very, like, sociopathic and blend in pretty well.
Mm-hmm. But then you think about it, just how, going through the rest of the story, how powerful Terra would have to be.
Yeah.
Because for the Lingering Will to survive as long as it did,
over a decade,
even in
arrest, as
a
suit of armor,
in a resting state.
Yeah, but so that actually is even more impressive because how many of us could just sit and wait?
That man was patient.
right? To hold on to that resolve.
Literally anybody shows up. Anybody shows up to the fucking Keyblade graveyard and he's like, are you fucking Xehanort?
Right?
I mean, I'd be pissed too. Like, also keep in mind, his probably perception of everything is probably, like,
so messed up.
Like, oh, yeah, he's gonna be so clouded by his anger of what happened at the very end of his life.
He saw a Keyblade and immediately thought, like, what did you do to Ven?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because, like, he might have felt a little bit of Ven and been like, what the fuck is going on here?
Like, wait, you took Ven's heart too. Oh, you're dead. Like, right. And also, he was the first one to ever use Keyblade transformations.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was sitting there for that fight, you know, like just watching that fight, and I was like, why do you have so many health bars? And then he does the transformation.
As if you didn't just finish the data fights.
And then he, like, in that secret fight, you're like, why? Like, you have so many health bars. And then he comes down, like, he starts dive bombing you with his Keyblade Rider. And I'm like, because that's what I need right now, Terra. Thank you.
It's not the fact that he could turn his Keyblade into a whip and a bow and a gauntlet and a cannon.
Holy crap.
And a motorcycle.
Okay, well, the motorcycle we kind of already knew about.
I knew about that one.
Yeah.
God. Shoutouts to freaking Seralum 1 for getting me through that fight on critical mode, because my God.
Like, oh my gosh. But like...
Also, can we just talk about... I love that it's just this one little detail. It's like... Because he had a cape in Kingdom Hearts 2, but they didn't have the cape in Earth by Sleep. And so when he just goes into his catatonic state, he just sprouts a little cape.
Yeah, because they couldn't like get capes on the PSP or something like that originally.
Yeah,
because
capes can't be... Like, they only did it in the final mix because they couldn't put like cape physics on the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny to me. Like, this, I love this series who, like, are so like hell-bent on continuity, they just, like, spontaneously do little things like that, and it's funny.
It's kind of dumb, but it's almost endearing.
It's charming.
Care that much.
It's charming. It's so they can like. It's so they can say like, we didn't forget. Look.
Mm-hmm. Even if it makes no sense.
Even if it makes no sense. Granted, this is the same universe where time traveling old men can split themselves into 13 people and suits of armor can just have their own conscience or consciousness.
Hey, Voldemort, eat your heart out.
It's like four different.
Thank you. Harry Potter. It's Harry Potter.
Yeah. The Organization 13 was Xehanort's Horcruxes.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's how I actually describe the Xehanort stuff. I'm like, he's splitting his soul. He's like, he's splitting his heart. He's, you know, one of my friends goes, like, Voldemort?
Exactly. Yes. Like
Xehanort
Voldemort.
Has 13 Horcruxes.
Also, can I just say, they had, like, way more than 13?
I mean, there was more than 7 lights, too.
That is
it's
fair.
Good to have backups.
It is good to have backups.
Good to have backups.
Unless you make your backups not feel good, and then they'll, you know, betray you and help the lights.
Damn!
God, I hate the fact... I don't know what it is. I can never like Vexen's character. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I've never liked Vexen. Maybe it's because of my deep-seated hatred for him back in Chain of Memories when I was, like, 10. And I couldn't beat
never
him.
Got over it.
But, like,
I struggle with it.
I don't like Vexen's personality. I don't like his character. I don't know why.
I agree. I'm almost more willing to forgive him than Ansem the Wise.
Yes. No, like, Vexen, right. I understand what happened. I understand what happened, and I like it. But I'm like, I understand. I'm still not going to like you, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's just doing things for the name of science. Like, and try to, like... And then eventually, like, just trying to help out his master. Or his old, like, mentor. He figured out he was going to be some geezer's heart tank. And he's like, no? My man just wants to do experiments, which is fine. Also... this is such a tangent. I'm sorry, Austin, but back in when you were doing the Chain of Memories episodes, when you were doing the I'm a scientist experiments are what I do. Yes, I was like, you got to do it with the cadence, man. I'm a scientist. Experiment with what I do. Yes. Like, you gotta...
That's kind of hard to, get like... real... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just... Because, Austin, you're basically... You're reading the script, which misses a ton of the cadence of stuff.
Funny. Try and watch or play them around the same time I'm going to do them, but it's hard to hold all those cadences in your head.
I know. Right. The only reason I know it is because I've watched so many clips. I'm not, like, bashing you. Like, you're doing an amazing job for what you're doing already. And I'm just, like... and I can just hear them in my head, and it's very funny.
Like, one of the ones I think I remember noting slightly was the feeling a little regret line.
Yeah.
Because
feeling a little regret.
I have always interpreted that as Roxas. That is Rox. I wish they were better on my side. And Roxas quips. Because, you know,
yeah, no, that is wholeheartedly a Roxas quip.
And Roxas goes, oh, feeling a little regret.
That's like the same way, like, Roxas says, get real, look which one of us is winning. It's like the other one talking through each other. Like, that is totally like Roxas whipping at his friend.
That feeling a little regret had the same, like, vibe to me as, well, I am scared. Fear isn't something we can have. Well, I am scared. Yeah. Like,
we love our sassy Roxas. Also, I'm just gonna say, personal headcanon, Sora only got sassy after Roxas went back into him.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
He got angry before that, but he didn't get sassy.
Like, after Roxas, like, you know, merged back with him and all that, like, my man Sora got some sass on him.
He didn't get angry. He didn't get the anger like Diz told him to. He got the sass.
This is why we stan Roxas. This is why we love Roxas. He's my favorite character. Him and Shion are my favorite characters.
So can I... You guys won't have an answer, but can I... Why Roxas, Axel, and Shion hug so weird?
Okay, to be fair, one of them is, like, a basketball player tall. And I don't think...
But they got... I'm like, okay. But then... Then, you know... Aqua, Terra, and Ven get a proper hug.
I mean...
They're, like, kneeling on the ground.
They're kneeling on the ground, and, like, to be fair, just animating... I will say, 3D modeling three-person hugs is a pain. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to make it feel real. But, like, I get what you're saying, because
Axel, they're, like, in a huddle. Like, in a basketball huddle. And... Terra, Aqua, and Ven just, like, get a proper hug. And I'm like, why?
I think also it might just be because Terra...
Have Shion and Roxas ever hugged anybody before?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like...
That's
like,
true. They don't know how it works.
I was just really hoping that, like, I don't know. But, like, Roxas and Shion, I'm like, can I just get, like, one proper hug out of you two? Just, like...
That's not Roxas cradling Shion's dying body.
Right? Like, I just want, like, a proper hug out of Roxas and Shion. That's it.
That is the most physical contact I think we ever see them have. Like,
yeah.
Is when Roxas is holding her as she dies.
I think the most physical contact Roxas has ever had is holding Shion when she's dying and Lexeus bitch slapping him. That's
it. These poor kids.
I love that mission in Days, because he's just are you ready what and just
the heck.
I like how they reference that in 3, where Enzo's like, I know you and Roxas don't get along. And it's like, their one interaction was, I bitch slapped that boy.
One interaction was, you need to be on the brink of death, let me help you.
Yeah.
Is it Days or 3? I think it's Days, where there's the scene where Axel's, like, reading a book. Axel's reading a book, and it just you see the pages, and then it cuts up to Axel, and he just goes, I have no idea what to say. These are my favorite lines from him for some reason. Just he's like, you know, studying a book. Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
Listen, I just get the, especially in Birth by Sleep, you just get the energy of just like, this is an, like, Lee is an absolute idiot, but he's my idiot. Like,
oh yeah, that's definitely Ice's total, his absolute energy is,
he got,
this is, you're an idiot, but you're my idiot.
He got hella jealous of Roxas and Shion.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, remember, Cronus, Riley, and Darylise, and y'all were talking when you went through Days. You're talking like how weird it was that Axel, who's like 19 at the youngest, was friends with these, you know, 15, 16 year olds.
He's very tall for a 19 year old.
I think he's honestly at very, very youngest, he'd probably be 21.
Yeah, like he's.
Granted, that would mean he was 11 during Birth by Sleep, but I think he's older than that.
I think just Quentin Flynn's voice makes him like sound older than he is.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely has the vibe of like kind of like Demix, where like he's very carefree, but unlike Demix, he knows when to get shit done.
Yeah,
especially in Chain of Memories, where he just assassinates Vexen. That scene was very cathartic for me. That scene was very cathartic for me. And then the parallels in Days when he had to confront Shion in that same spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love just Vexen begging for his life. Like, Axel is so introduced as this, like, cold-blooded killer that doesn't care about anything, and then you play Days and he's just like, oh, he's a cinnamon roll.
Yeah, like literally the next time he confronts somebody there, instead of I just murder them out of hand, he's like, I'll always be there to bring you guys back. Such a
literal chills.
Oh.
Literal chills on that line.
That line.
Axel says this is just gold.
But any line, yeah, any line Axel, any line Quentin Flynn that comes out of Axel's mouth is gold. Love it.
Like, why is he so good?
Also, this is just a random, like, on the topic of, like, relationships crap. This is just a random thing I picked up replaying Days. Is Lark Scene trying to, like, persuade Axel? She got very flirty with that man. But also, that's probably just her character because she's literally called the Savage Nymph.
Mm-hmm.
But like, dang.
I think I've asked it before. Why is Marluxia the graceful assassin when Axel does all the assassinating?
Right!
And Axel's nobody, so the nobodies associated with Axel are the assassins.
Yeah, he should have been, Marluxia should have been like the graceful reaper or something.
The graceful reaper and Axel's like the
reaper, yeah.
Assassin of flames or something for Axel.
I
love Flurry of Dancing Flames for Axel, don't get me wrong.
Well, because to be fair, his fighting style in 2 is a lot more free, I guess.
Blue.
Especially in 3, when he gets his Keyblade, it's very, like, styly. Like, it's very, like, a style character in a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very unorthodox.
I love that he throws. I love that Axel still throws his Keyblade.
Well, duh, he's got to know what he's got to learn. He's got to fight like he knows.
Yep.
Listen, have you seen the way he holds that thing? He holds it over his shoulder.
Like he did his chakram.
Yeah, like his offhand chakram. He holds it by that same spot.
Uh-huh. And, God. I mean, you know, Axel's in 3. Axel's Keyblade form changes, too.
Yeah, I know, but he can go back into his chakram.
He goes back to his chakram. Yeah.
Which is, like, another theory now that, like, the people that were in, like, are a part of the Union Cross, like, timeline. So, Loria, Malrena, Luxord, and Demix, like, all of their weapons are Keyblade form changes, and they can't remember how to change back.
Hmm.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
I kind of love that.
I watch a lot of Bioroxus, and he goes over a lot of, like, animation stuff and, like, other things, but, like, I remember, like, Marluxia's weapon is Divine Rose form change. Since, you know, Marluxia actually uses Divine Rose. I forget if Elraina had a Keyblade in Union Cross. I remember he said, like, it could have been something similar to Missing Ache, where, like, it was a lightning-themed one.
Mm-hmm. They showed us. I'd have to go back and look.
Luke Sturd could have had a version of Lady
Dandelion, Lock. Isn't she?
I think.
Elraina? Was it Dandelion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know Luke Sturd, like, could have had a version of Lady Luck, and Demix could have had a version of... There's no really water-themed Keyblades. I think he said, like, Diamond Dust or something, but, like...
That's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
Speaking of form changes, though, my absolute favorite form change in 3 is Storm Flag.
Oh, the hot, like, high wind and stuff?
Mm-hmm. The Pirates of the Caribbean one. So it goes high wind and then Storm Flag. And I don't like the finisher for Storm Flag. Like, the Kraken thing is kind of weird, but just the way Storm Flag looks and moves.
Well, because he's doing it like a bow staff, and it's really
nice. Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. I love it.
He also becomes a Color Guard member in that moment, if any of you know.
Yeah, yeah. Band. He's like a Color Guard, and I love it.
Color Guard, literally.
Also, one of the first mods I saw for Kingdom Hearts 3 was changing the flag to the Pride flag.
They have every sexuality flag. They have like a bunch of like new like logos and stuff. I remember seeing a Lamanberg flag from Dream SMP. But my favorite form change for a while was actually my favorite one now, hands down, is arrow guns. I loved the idea of Sora just being strapped. But I literally have a Funko Pop. I have a Funko Pop of Sora with the arrow guns. But for a while, my favorite one was Nano Arms because I loved the idea of changing weapons on the fly like that. Of like weapons that can change forms, and the idea that it used moves from every single, like almost every other form change, and that they melded into each other. But obligatory double form is also up there. Because I'm a sucker for dual wielding.
Yeah. I mentioned it before, and Austin, we've talked about is sometimes it's not story wise, but sometimes I wish you'd mentioned some more of the gameplay stuff, like the form changes and in like 2. And we've talked about why you didn't. But sometimes I wish you'd mention them just because I think they're a lot of fun and they can be tied into the storyline, you know, kind of sideways.
I thought he talked about Valor Forms like design and then never
went. He mentioned that he got the forms specifically for those forms.
He got Valor Form and Wisdom Form.
The two that I think are actually, you know, the most story applicable is anti-form and final form.
Right.
I
think the problem I have with forms especially is just like, what do I say? I say, you get this form, here's what you can do with it. I don't know. I probably should have mentioned at minimum anti-form just because its predecessor.
It's a predecessor.
A bit more story important.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Forced into it in the final fight.
Or like with the D-Link, I would have just super simple. You know, Aqua gives them the Wayfinders, I literally would have put it in the an unbreakable connection. And then, because that's when it, like, pops up and explains D-linking to you in the game. Mm-hmm. And just, like, literally say, you know, they can borrow each other's powers.
And, like, the same way the drive forms are just Sora, like, combining his powers with his team members, like, his party members.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows the whole more, like, kind of drives home that whole power of bonds and friendship and all that.
Yeah.
But also seeing Sora, like, super, like, you know, badass, floating around with two keyblades he's, you know, using telekinetically.
Like... Final form is so cool. And, like, it's a law. You have to equip Oathkeeper and Oblivion.
But also, to be fair, so what I do with those, I have, if because, like, I use it as a, usually when I do Kingdom Hearts runs, my personal challenge is I only use Kingdom Key. But for the dry forms,
so much better in all the cutscenes.
It looks so much better. But the only, like, and I don't even bother getting weapons for Donald and Goofy because they're kind of wastes. Like, obviously, I'll still go to get Ultimate Weapon just to have it, and I'll still have get all the Keyblades to have them, but, like, I will usually only use Kingdom Key if I'm running through the story, just as a little self-imposed challenge. And, I saw fan art of, like, the forms. I was like, Valor, Wisdom, Master, and Final. And Valor had Oathkeeper associated with it, while Master had Oblivion, so I always keep those two on those forms, respectively, in their offhands. And because I can't change them, I use two become one on final forms offhand, because that is my favorite keyblade by design.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. That's but if I'm ever going to use, like, final form, like, exclusively for something, I will switch to Oathkeeper and Oblivion.
Yeah, but I like to play with a keyblade. If I know I'm going to go into a cutscene, I will make sure my keyblade is either Kingdom Key, Oathkeeper, or Oblivion. Because it's so goofy to walk into a cutscene, a really intense cutscene, and you've got the Toy Story Keyblade.
Right? I know, like, the freaking Pirates of the Caribbean Keyblade was, like, the best one for a while in 3, so you'll have, like, the scenes where, like, especially Sora blocking, like, Shion's blows, and you can't even see his face.
Yep.
Right.
I remember because I was watching a playthrough of Dream Drop Distance, and it's the scene where, with Riku, it's the My Journey Begins Here and Now
scene. And he pulls out freaking Fantasia Keyblade.
The one that this person had equipped was the Three Musketeers one. And I was like, no!
No, that's a way. That is a you pull out Way to Dawn.
If you didn't pull out Way to Dawn, you didn't pull out anything. Like,
ugh. I will say though, in 3, the Ultima weapon is like looks so much more associated to Sora that like
yeah.
And also,
if
I think
like Ultima.
And also, so like in 3, my main like keyblades for cutscenes were Kingdom Key and Shooting Star, was because Shooting Star actually has its own pre-rendered cutscene in the Big Hero 6 world. And, like, I feel like Shooting Star, like how, like, Riku got an evolved Keyblade, I feel like Shooting Star was the natural progression for Sora's Keyblade. Especially since it was in all the promo art a lot of the time.
That's fair. 3 is a bit different. It's also so much nicer since you can switch on the fly between it.
Right, you have, like, what, 3 or 4 Keyblades that you can
get,
just switch
three.
It up with?
You get 3. Also, I will say, this is very funny. So in Kingdom Hearts 1, you can only use one Keyblade at a time. In Kingdom Hearts 2, you could use 2 Keyblades at a time. In Kingdom Hearts 3, you can use 3 Keyblades at a time. Where's Kingdom Hearts 4 going?
Yeah.
Gotta get to Kingdom Hearts 20, and then we can have thing from Final Fantasy 15, where all the weapons surround you.
Yeah.
The Armiger?
Armiger. Yeah.
Or, I think it's one of the command styles in Birth by Sleep.
What's Wingblade.
Wingblade. I love Wingblade.
That's my favorite command style for Ventus. My entire deck is built around getting Wingblade as fast as possible.
Right. So I loved Wingblade, partially because it reminds me of 13 Blades. From Riku and Sora's Limit Break in 2.
Yes.
And their Limit Break is...
Limit Break is so good. I freaking love that Limit Break. I forget what the actual like name of it is, but it's like such a cool name.
I think there's Eternal Sessions.
Let me see.
13 Blades. There's a couple different steps to it, right? 13 Blades is one of the last.
It's called Eternal Session, and I love that name. It's like the entire thing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you get to use powers together, it's always so cool. Like their Mirage something?
Yes, the Mirage Split from
Nightmare's End and Mirage Split, the Gay Blade.
The Gay Blade.
Absolutely.
I like that came back.
My profile picture is basically
So we have the Beyblade, and now we're about to have the Gay Blade when he gets to Dream Drop.
To be fair, the Beyblade isn't mentioned quite as much in Dream Drop Distance as it is in First Beyblade.
I know. They're used in And then three, they're used in different areas, like separate from each other, so you won't get confused. I just think it's funny.
Oh, for sure.
That's what the community settled on.
I mean, not wrong. but Austin, you have to send, when you introduce the Gay Blade to Cronus, Darylise, and Riley, you need to show them a clip of it.
Oh, 100%. I have to.
Absolutely.
Because pictures don't do it justice. Like, you have to see the way it
that
moves.
The way it's gay. The way that it's gay. Freaking. I'm trying to remember. It's also really cool just to see Riku and Sora use each other's Keyblades. They'll hand them off to each other, and like the other one will use magic for a time. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people had issues with the whole everybody dies thing in Kingdom Hearts 3, but for some reason this just popped into my head. And Riku's speech to Sora about "you don't believe that, I know you don't" was so fucking impactful to me. Because I was coming out of one of the deepest depressions of my life. I almost committed suicide at the end of 2018.
I'm really glad you're still here, by the way.
Thank you. And I don't know. There was something about that line to Sora that really just it felt like Riku was speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Riku. Him and Roxas are my two favorite characters by far.
Oh, absolutely. I love
Riku. Riku, hands down, is my favorite character. I mean, he's my fictional character crush. So
listen, I don't care what anyone says. Riku is the main character of the Kingdom Hearts series.
They give them such good story arcs when you think
about
it.
Because
Sora is
Riku's
himself. But when you see Riku and Roxas' progression through the stories, it kind of speaks to you more.
To be fair, I think it also works with because Sora and Riku are opposites but similar at the same time. And their arcs parallel each other.
Riku and Sora are really good foils.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Both as the villain of Kingdom Hearts 1 and then also as friends through the rest of the series. They just work off of each other so well in both aspects.
Yeah, and it's the fact that I also think it's really nice, because this just always spoke to me, that Sora was never mad at Riku for what happened to him.
Mm-mm.
Never held it over his head, unless it was a sort of joking way where Riku knew he wasn't serious about it. Because he knew it was such a hard time for him, and he was just I'm gonna support my best friend, because that's what we do.
Sora's unending, or almost unending, optimism and Riku's literal fight with himself.
It definitely makes for a good dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's cool because, Riku's whole arc is learning to, accept the fact that darkness isn't necessarily... I always thought it was very interesting. Because, I always thought, his tie to the darkness was almost a sort of analogy to, mental illness.
Yeah.
And, the fact that, his entire story arc is learning that, even if it's a bad part of himself, he can still accept it and still be his own person is, very, very, impactful. And the fact that, Sora's whole arc is... not just, trying to make people happy, but he's trying to, do good, but also he's learning when he actually needs to be serious. but he's doing it in like his own thing because his heart speaks more than his brain sometimes.
What brain?
Exactly. Listen, between the three of Sora, Donald, and Goofy, there's only one brain cell, and Goofy has it most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, look at how that boy treats computers. Right.
I don't computer good, so you do that.
That line in three was, I died. I don't computer, so you do that.
At least he admits that he doesn't know.
At least he knows.
He's grown since Kingdom Hearts 2 when he was mashing.
I love, like, Ienzo just spitting out computer information, and Donald just goes, "You don't know what that means," and Sora, like, whispers, but he's still holding the phone so he can see them, and he's like, "Oh, and you do?"
Right.
And you just have, and you just have Pence over there just, like, breaking into the computer.
Well, I saw someone that Shion handles the computer all right, too, doesn't she?
Yes, because to be fair, Shion came from was a vessel from Vexen, so I feel like she would have kind of gained that knowledge already.
Yeah, so I saw like three images, and it was Sora.
Yes, I know exactly what image you're talking about. I know exactly.
Sora banging on the terminal in 2, Rock in, you know, the Tron terminal in 2. Roxas is obliterating the computer setup in the Digital Twilight Town, and then Shion actually using a computer.
And I remember it was funny because, like, one of them is confused, one of them is angry, and like, and then there's Shion hacking the frickin' database. I forgive Roxas because I chalked that up to him just being pissed.
Oh, right. Roxas just needed to break something.
Okay, sorry, Austin, Shion, you can talk.
Is Kairi, as Sora remembers her, and Sora thinks that Kairi is really smart. So it makes perfect sense that Shion is way smarter than him.
Yeah.
That is true.
Also, like, the sequel trilogy of Star Wars just stole everything from Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill trying to kill his apprentice, somebody destroying computers with a blade.
I mean, Terra's also like an Anakin, like,
oh, 100%. Oh no, yeah, 100%.
Oh, they definitely have a very similar arc.
Our intro and outro music.
Well, before we go to our intro and outro music, do any of you guys have anything to plug that you want to mention?
I mean, I don't really do this anymore, but I might get back into it. But follow Jack of All Trades on Instagram and YouTube because I do music sometimes. And like other entertainment related projects. It's been a little quiet, but I might have some stuff later. We don't know. Depends on how I feel.
The only thing I'd have was my fan fiction that I write that this has, you know, made me actually work on again since I haven't worked on it since before Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. If anyone does decide they want to check it out, it's on Archive of Our Own with my username wayfinder1314.
I know my Instagram is _ like jack.of.all.trades, and that underscore, and then that has like a link to it that could take you to like all my sites that I have.
Follow me on Twitter at artpopplayernet if you want to see me scream about my job in RuPaul's Drag Race.
I don't got anything. I'll just say join the Discord. Come and chill out with all of us.
If you're not in the Discord, you can't be on the podcast.
Yeah. If you want to discuss stuff with us, come and join us.
Literally, one of the reasons I joined was because I was like, I want to see if I have a shot. And look at this. I am living proof that it can happen. Look at this.
Yeah.
But also come because people in there are really sick.
Come enjoy the memes.
Our intro and outro song is Dearly Reminded by Jan Ultra. You can find his Bandcamp links in the show notes. You can also find a link to our Discord server in the show notes. We do have 2 new people. We have _Binks and Tyler Has Hands. So if you want to be cool like them and like all of these fine people, join us on the Discord. But that's all from us this week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
this world has been connected.
Also, I love, this is like, and I don't know if he'll ever discuss this because it's like not important at all, but like how every character in Days in like the little mission room has like their own sitting animation, and Axel is like,
oh, he's like half off the couch.
Half off the couch laying flat. Like, what the heck?
Definitely a bisexual the way he sits.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, have you seen him and Iza?
And then in the Mysterious Tower, he sits backwards on the chair.
Mm-hmm. Axel just can't sit properly.
Yeah, he's a bisexual.
He's a bisexual. as a fellow bisexual myself, I can attest we do not sit correctly.
I don't usually sit right either, but I don't actually know what my sexuality is yet.
That's fair.
That's fair. It's just all Kingdom Hearts fans. We just can't sit properly.
We know what Axel sits.
I like curling up.
We have to be ready to stand up at a moment's notice in case Nomura pulls some BS.